Amen. John 17 and verse 1. And we're on talking about glory to God, part 2. This morning I preached on glory to God. I call that part 1. And then tonight we'll finish that off with part 2. Glory simply means look what he did. And in this case, glory to God, look what God did. And it gives God the recognition that he deserves. And we need to give him glory. John 17 and verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Father, bless the preaching tonight. Thank you for all the music, and just thank you for the good spirit that we've had this weekend with the shepherd's party yesterday and church this morning, and just all that goes on. We just thank you that we can serve you, and I do pray that this church, this people, would all give glory to you. So please, help us to understand the message tonight and apply it to our lives, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I preached 2 points of my message on glory to God. The points that I preached this morning, number one, was God's glory rejected. Satan has done all he can. He's lied and deceived so many, attempting to get man to reject the glory that God deserves, to steal God's glory from him. We see it in many, many efforts. We talked about evolution, the teaching of that. We talked about abortion. We talked about homosexuality, different things where God's glory is rejected, trying to get a man to, instead of say, look what God did, to say, well, look what I did, or look what man did, or look what God did wrong, if there is a God, and to gripe and complain about how we're made and all kinds of stuff that robs God from glory. The Bible says fearfully and wonderfully is how we're made. I mean, it's amazing how we're made. We should never complain and gripe about how we're made. But that was this morning's message, and that was point number one, God's glory rejected. Anytime, now I mean this, anytime you and I have an opportunity to say, wow, look what God did, we ought to do it. Anytime, we ought to never, never, never rob God of his glory. He's due all the glory. God's glory, number one, rejected. Then number two, I talked about God's glory respected. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. I mean, if the stars declare his glory, if the sun and the moon declares his glory, if all creation, the Bible says, declares his glory, then it seems like you and I should kind of understand that. And so God's glory respected. We see it in his birth. We see it in his life. We see his glory in his death. We see it in his resurrection. And, of course, we see his glory in his coming again. And so we talked about that. And you know, the angels, when Jesus was born, they gave God the glory. Look what God did. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, to die on a cross. I mean, to the angels, they knew that he came down from heaven's glory to this earth to live a perfect life and then to die on a cross. And they said, look what God did. Look what God did. The shepherds, they saw it. They couldn't believe it. This is Christ. This is the Messiah. This is the anointed one. And they couldn't. And they said, look what God did. And they gave God the glory. And folks, as we think about Jesus, by the way, last Sunday, in the morning service, we had the Lord's Supper. You know what that's all about? That's all about saying, look what God did. We take the bread and we talk about the bread and we recognize that Jesus Christ allowed man to break his body. And they took a cat of nine tails and they whipped him and literally peeled the flesh from his body. And they beat him with their fists and with rods. And we say, look what God did. And then his blood was spilled. And he shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven. We have to say, look what God did. Number one, God's glory rejected. Number two, God's glory respected. And then the third thing, and that's tonight's message, is God's glory reflected. God's glory reflected. In our text here in John chapter 17 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Father," it says, "these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy son." Jesus said, if you will glorify your son, he said that I, your son, will glorify thee. Thy son also may glorify thee. First, if you will lift me up. And by the way, that's exactly what happened to the Lord Jesus. He was lifted up. He was lifted up on a cross. He was lifted up to hang on a cross. And by the way, as he hung on the cross, we would have to say, look what God did. Because God didn't have to let it happen. In fact, the Bible says God sent his only begotten son. It was God's idea to send his son to hang on that cross and to die. And look back at John chapter 3 real quick and verse 14. John chapter 3 and verse 14, just to show you that the Bible does say that. Verse 14 of John 3, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life." And Jesus had to be lifted up on that cross so that you and I could have eternal life, so that you and I could be saved. And when he's lifted up on the cross, we have to say, hey, look what God did. This wasn't man's plan. This wasn't man's idea. This was God in heaven who shows mercy and grace to mankind. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Glory to God. Look what God did. And so Jesus could say in chapter 17 in verse 2, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many." That's why Jesus was lifted up on that cross, so he could give eternal life. Tonight, folks, I have eternal life, not because of me, not because I'm an American, not because of where I was born or how I was born or anything like that, not because of who my parents are. I have eternal life not because of something I did. It's not because of good works that I've done. No, I have eternal life tonight because Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross. You have, if you're saved tonight, you have eternal life as well. Praise the Lord. But you do not have it tonight because your parents were religious people. You don't have it tonight because you have relatives that came over on the Mayflower. You don't have it tonight because you were dunked in a baptistry. You don't have it tonight because you took communion. No, if you're saved tonight, you have eternal life because Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross. And he died on that cross to pay for our sins. That is how we can have eternal life. And it goes on and it says in verse 3, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And once we know him, and this is point, the last point. Dave said, "Dad, that, you know, I explained it to him," and he said, "Oh, that we ought to be out of here in about 5 minutes." Well, it's not quite that easy. But here it is. Once we're saved, once we're born again, because it's all about, Jesus said, "Father, if you'll lift me up, if you'll glorify me, then I will hang on a cross and glorify you, and everyone will say, look what God did." So that they, people, those that you love, God, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And he said, so that they then can glorify you. Really? How can we do that? I'm so glad you asked. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. God's glory reflected. Here is exactly how you and I can glorify God. Oh, we can certainly speak it, and that is going to be one of my points, but there's something else here. It says this, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord." That's as if we're looking in a glass, and the glass there is like a mirror. Notice what it says. As we look at the glory of the Lord, It says, are changed into the same image. Are changed. And the more I look upon Jesus, the more I gaze into his word, and the more I see him and know him and walk with him and talk with him, the more I look like him. And therefore, he gets the glory out of me. Amen. The more I mirror Jesus Christ, the more people say, look what God did. The more you act like Jesus Christ, the more we do what Jesus did, the more people say, wow, look what God did. Now, wait a minute. I'm talking to a congregation that there are those here that used to be alcoholics. There are those here that have been to jail. There are those here that have been all kinds of trouble. And then everybody here has been lost and on our way to hell, guilty of sin. Wait a minute. Look what God did. We're not in jail tonight. We're not on drugs tonight. We're not alcoholics tonight. We're not that filthy, wicked, vile sinner that we were before Christ came in our lives. Look what God did. Well, I sure didn't do it. I couldn't have done it. You couldn't have done it. You know, you and I, we couldn't clean ourselves up. People are trying to clean themselves up all the time. But he cleaned me up. He made me a new creature. And now the Bible says that I am changed, and I'm becoming changed more and more and more and more. You know, when I got saved, I was wicked. I really was wicked and vile. Everybody knows that that I was a hippie back in the 70s. You remember hippies? And that doesn't mean that a part of my anatomy was larger than the rest, but that's a different kind. But long-haired hippie, and I mean rough, really rough, and just cussed and swore and just did all kinds of wicked things, and God saved me. I told our young people, I gave them a picture of me when I was in fourth grade, and it had an illustration that was attached to it. I don't have time to get into it. Now I gave one to the shepherds as well. That's a quality picture. Change your life, right? And don't pray to it, though. But anyway, I gave him a little picture. And I told some of the kids in our school, I said, I ought to bring you a picture of me when I was a teenager. And then I got to thinking, maybe not. But you know what? Listen, hey, there was a day, I mean, seriously, it just didn't seem like I would even ever go to church. And me and my buddies, we were rough, and we cussed and swore and did all those wicked things. And when I got saved, my friend said, what is wrong with you? You're different. You know what they're saying? They're saying, something's happened. I got to find out what. And I said this. I said, God changed me. They said, wait a minute. You know, come on. You used to cuss and swear. And why aren't you? I don't know what's happened. God changed me. Look what God did. And all over this room, We have people can give the same testimony, just like it. Look what God did. It's not look at me, but look at what God did. It should never be about look at you. It should be look what God did. You know, if you're successful in your business, it shouldn't be about look at you. It should be look what God did. If you're successful in your marriage, it shouldn't be about, hey, look at me. I took a course on marriage, and boy, I'm good, you know. No, it should be, look what God did. It's a miracle. It's a miracle today that we can do the things that we do, but it's not because of us. It's because look what God did. I again, you go back to a year ago, and the old roof started to leak over, and all that mess and some of the stuff that went on. It is just amazing. Folks, it ought to prove, if it proves anything at all, it's got to prove, look what God did. Amen. I was thinking the other day, and I'm getting in trouble here because I'm going off on tangents, but it's okay. But I remember we were putting up the letters for such a time as this. Remember that? We put our clock out there in the foyer, right out there. We had all that wallpaper on the walls there, and it was pretty for its time, but it was probably older than most of the kids in here. And I remember when we put that up at the beginning of 2013, for such a time as this, we put those letters on there. I remember looking at the wallpaper, and it had tears in it. And do you remember this? When we put that up, we said, well, I wonder if when we take these letters off, it'll tear. And I said, you know what? By then, maybe we can get new wallpaper. I had absolutely no idea what was going to happen. I had, honestly, we all kind of chuckled, ha, 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 sure. But look what God did. Look what God did. Come on, folks, honestly, in your life, I want you to think about this. All the things, the heavens declare the glory of God, and all the things that God does day in and day out in our lives. But the greatest thing, perhaps, could be God's glory reflected in you. Reflected in us. Moses was with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible says that his face shone. That means it glowed. Not just because he was bald, but that's what people say about me. Some, your head shines. Well, that's the halo. No. But Moses' face shone, the Bible says. And because of the children of Israel, they saw him. Now try to imagine, after 40 days and 40 nights, he's been with God, and he comes to the people, and his face is glowing. I know, that's what I say. Wow. Exactly what I think. I think that is amazing. And the people go, ah! And they had him put a veil over. You know, a lot of folks can't handle somebody that's walking with God. A lot of people, don't let people put a veil over your glow, my friend. You walk with Jesus Christ and you glow. And you rejoice and praise the Lord. And Moses, literally, he had to cover his face with a veil. They should have just said, look what God did. Because Moses didn't do it. It wasn't because he was using so-and-so's new face cream. Amen. No, his face was glowing because he'd been with God. Praise the Lord. You can always tell folks that have walked with God and been with God. Amen. Don't cover it up. Show the reflection of God in your life. You know, so many, well, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't, you know, listen, don't rob God of his glory. Don't rob God of his glory. It's so important that we understand. You know, it's so important. The Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, look at it. John 16 and verse 13. Then I'm going to give you some points and we're going to be done. John 16 and verse 13. What the Holy Spirit do? Why did he come? Verse 13 of John 16 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. We have a whole religion based on the Holy Spirit, worshiping the Holy Spirit and talking about spiritual gifts and all that. And the Holy Spirit says, no! He says, no! He said, I didn't come to speak of myself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Jesus said this, he said about the Holy Spirit, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit said, and you know what? As human beings, that's what we should do. We should say, it's not about me. Do you understand every time we gripe and complain, what are we saying? We're saying, it's about me. Every time we complain about this, that, or the other thing, we're saying, it's about me. I don't like this. It's all about me. What we should be saying is, look what God did. Look what God did. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm coming to say, look at Jesus. Look what God did. How can I reflect God's glory in my life? Several things and we'll be done. Number one is in our salvation. Our salvation itself, it cries out, glory to God. It cries out, look what God did. Our salvation, you understand, folks, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. You say, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that so I can go to heaven. You can't go to heaven by doing this and that. You can only go to heaven by calling on Jesus Christ, who already did what had to be done so you could be saved. Our salvation cries out glory to God, Ephesians 1 and verse 6. All through Ephesians 1 and 2, we see the glory of God. Let me just point it out to you. Ephesians 1 and verse 6, it talks about His grace to the praise of the glory of His grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's totally by the mercy and the grace of God that we can be saved. The first time man sinned, God could have said, enough, and it's over. But He didn't. He said, I love you. And He says He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Oh, thank God He was long-suffering to me so that I could be saved. Wow, He's long-suffering. But His grace, God did it. I'm not saved because of anything good in me. You're not saved because of anything good. It's according to God's mercy and God's grace. In verse 12, it talks about His glory, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. We trusted in Jesus Christ, and because of that, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We have an inheritance in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions, but you have to understand, in those mansions, that's where our inheritance is. It's all there. I preached a lot of funerals. I preached too many funerals. I'm telling you, I went back, I think it was our 10-year anniversary, and I looked back at how many funerals I've done. At that time, it was around 40. And just too many funerals. But I'll tell you what, every time I do a funeral, I just kind of try to look into heaven a little bit through what I know what the Scripture says. And I just think about all the folks and the different people. And right now, people are coming to mind, different things. I think about what's going to be in your mansion. And understand, it's not a thing to do with what you did. It's everything to do with what He did. We have an inheritance. Verse 14, it talks about our redemption. Just preached about this, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. It's that engagement ring on that girl's finger. Amen. You know, and she takes that and she shows everybody, look, I'm going to get married. Look, he spent $20. Well, typically she might be, more excited about more than that. But you know what? It doesn't matter what the cost is. It could be a Cracker Jack ring. Amen. We were telling, I won't say who we were talking to this about, but we have been talking about this with someone and talking about how Brenda's, our rings cost $300 for all three rings. Yeah, isn't that pitiful? You say, you cheapskate, we were broke. Somebody said, if you had it do all over again, would you marry so young? No, I'd marry younger. I could have married her when I was 5. I don't think parents would have liked that. But here's what that's all about. It's all about this. That engagement ring is just exactly what God has done when I got saved. He sealed me with His Holy Spirit. The fact the Holy Spirit lives in me is the earnest. It's the down payment. It's the engagement ring that it's all going to happen exactly as He said. It's going to take place. The marriage will take place. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be there for all eternity. Guaranteed. But it's not because of anything I did. It has nothing to do with me. To Him be the glory. See what our salvation does? Ephesians 2 and verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're made in His image. Look what God did, and that's exactly by what I do, day in, day out. What I do should be crying out to anyone observing, look what God did. Look what God did. And since we're talking about good works, look at Matthew 5 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Think about it now. You have an opportunity to glorify God. You have an opportunity for folks to say, look what God did. But it all has to do with your reflection. It all has to do with what are you looking at? Who are you spending time with? If your reflection shows a worldly person, if your reflection shows an ungodly person, if your reflection shows one who doesn't care about the things of God, then certainly nobody will glorify God because of it. Matthew 5 and verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, we're not saved by works, but our works, they cry out, "Look what God did." Or they cry out, "You're really God's? Tell me about your works, and I'll tell you whether your life is being a glory to God or not. Tell me what you're doing. Tell me about your life, and I'll tell you whether you're giving God glory with your reflection or not." 1 Peter 4:11. On the same note, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. The Bible says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ." Wait a minute. What glorifies God? If I do what God wants me to do with the ability He gave me to do it. Isn't that awesome? That means I don't have to be a big shot. I don't even have to have a whole lot of ability in a lot of things. I just have to take whatever ability I have and just use it to glorify God. Isn't that awesome? You say, "Well, I can't sing." Praise the Lord. Don't have to. "Well, I couldn't preach. You don't have to. "Yeah, you know, it's a shame. You know, I watch these Sunday school teachers. Boy, they're so good. I could never teach us." You don't have to. Yeah, you know, you can take whatever ability you have and just use it for God. And God says, "That'll give me glory." Isn't that good? I'm gonna tell you, honestly, yesterday, you know, I get fired up whenever I'm doing stuff with the shepherds, even though Linda gives me a hard time. But I just get so excited. Why? Because listen to me. Please get this. Literally, their lives scream, "Look what God did!" Amen. It's in the service. It's in the singing. It's in everything that goes on. "Hey, look what God did!" You know, and sometimes we look down our pious nose. It's like, but I'm telling you, God in heaven is saying, I deserve the glory. Amen. Some of you are looking at me funny. Did you know that 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says this, it says about our reflection, it says from glory to glory. That means it should be happening day after day. Write it down. Put that down in there. I'm not going to turn back to it. But in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it talks about our reflection. It says from glory to glory. You know what that means? That means that every day it should be, "Look what God did." And then tomorrow it should be, "Look what God did." And then the next day it should be, "Look what God did." And the next day it should be, "Look." You know what that means? It means I'm growing. It means I haven't arrived, and neither have you. It should be, "Look what God did." I pray all the time, "God, help us to be different because of this service." What a waste if we just come and go. And then come and go. What a waste. What a waste of our time. We just come and go. But if I'm different, guess what that means? That means angels watch and say, "Hey, that guy got that right." And the angels say, "Well, look what God did." That's why the altar call is so important. That's why I do not understand, and I never will understand, why church after church after church all over America are shutting down the altar call as if it doesn't even matter. It is so essential. It is a great time for people to say, "Look what God did." I don't know how many people come forward where I'm praying specifically for you. Yeah. And it's like, "Look what God did." Who gets the glory? Who deserves the glory? He does. And as we grow, glory to glory. every day, many times a day. Look what God did. Look what God did. You think the angels wonder about us? You were so excited when you got saved, but what happened since? Do you think the angels talk about it? Hey, Gabriel, look at that guy down there. You know, he used to be so excited. Now he's just kind of comes and goes. Are y'all listening? I'm at the bottom of the first page, and the last page is only half a page. Does that encourage you? Look, there it is. See, here's the front page. There's the back page. It's only half. I'll do anything to help you. As we grow in the Lord, God gets the glory. As we make that decision, I think back to when we first started tithing. It seems like that was such a big deal. Man, I'm sweating. It's like, I know I'm supposed to tithe. You know, some of you are squirming right now because you've robbed God for time after time after time, right? Yeah. But it was such a big thing. And I remember telling my wife, I said, honey, I said, we got to tithe. And she wrote out that check. She had a good job, and I had a good job. And back in the 70s, you know, our job, those were good jobs back then. And she wrote out that to $35, I remember. She wrote out that check. And can you imagine Gabriel? Hey, look, he's finally doing it. Michael, he's sweating. Yeah, he was too. I remember putting it in the plate and holding on to it. Next person grabbed the plate to take it, and I kind of held on. I don't know about this. I mean, I was nervous about the whole thing. Can you see the angels laughing? I do. I really, in my mind, I think they had to be laughing about, hey, look, he's finally, look at him. He's finally doing it. And there it went, you know. And I watched that check go down the aisle. I watched it go to the next aisle. I turned and I went as if, you know, I'm going to get it now. You know, hey, usher, come back here. Can we make change? But, let me tell you something. Those angels all had to be saying, look what God did. Look what God did. He turned loose of his money. And you know, ever since that day, we haven't missed a beat. But he hadn't missed taking care of us either. Over and over and over and over and over and over again, God has provided everything for us. He always does. And what do we do then? We say, look what God did. Hey, it wasn't luck that got you the job. It wasn't luck that paid the bill. There isn't any such thing. Look what God did. And if you say it was luck, you're robbing God. Look at 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. You say, are you going to turn the page? I am. 1 Corinthians 6, watch, here we go. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, it says, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When I got saved, my body and my spirit ceased to belong to me anymore. It belongs to Him. And my Bible says that I can glorify God with this body. Amen. Oh, let me tell you something. That's why what we do with our body is important. That's why, listen to me, that's why how we look and what we say and what we do, it's important. Because what I look like, look what God did. It can make all the difference in the world to God getting the glory or to being ashamed to our God. Are you listening? Amen. Amen. Somehow I just cannot imagine half-naked Christians bringing much glory to God. Oh, don't get nervous. I don't even have much written down about it. You know, I cannot imagine cussing Christians bringing glory to God. Well, it slipped. Well, unslip it and fall on your face and ask God to forgive you. And then we'll be able to say, look what God did. First time I preached, I was so scared. I was 19 years old, became the coach of the basketball team. You've heard the story. And they asked me to preach the sports banquet or whatever it was. And I said, I preach? I don't know how to preach. They said, well, just tell us, you know, say something. I said, okay. I said, the only problem is my whole life before this time, the things I said, you would not want to hear. I cried. I begged God. Oh, God, when I get up to speak, please, God, Don't let me cuss. I had dreams, Brother Carpenter, before I got up and spoke to that little banquet. Plus, we invited my mom to come. First time she'd ever heard me preach. Mom was not saved. In fact, Mom came, she was half drunk. She came to that banquet. I'll never forget that. And I begged God, please, God, don't let me cuss. Please. I mean, you have to understand, every other word was a cuss word with me. And there I am, standing up with a Bible to preach. But here's what I think. I think that whole time, sweat was dripping down my face. I was terrified. I was more afraid. I wasn't afraid of the crowd. I was afraid of me. And at the end of that thing, I said, look what God did. Look what God did. And I guarantee a bunch of people. I remember inviting all my friends to hear me preach after my first year of college. There's nothing more dangerous than a freshman after his freshman year getting up to preach. I mean, it's scary because, boy, you're loaded, ready to shoot. I mean, I was ready to preach against everything. And all my buddies were sitting there. I mean, they were wicked, wicked guys. And do you remember that? And they came and I preached on why God doesn't hear prayer, I think it was, something like that. And they all sat there, and they were all just kind of staring like, is this the same guy? What in the world happened? Amen. I'll tell you what happened. God did it. Amen. God did it. What you do with your body, what you do with your spirit, you know, is anger giving glory to God when you're mad and angry and upset? Is bitterness going to give glory to God? Well, they did me wrong. Well, they hung Jesus on the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them. How about this? How about, God, help me forgive them. Amen. Because I guarantee when you forgive him, he'll get the glory. Amen. Well, I'm mad and I'm going to just stay mad. And you know, as long as you do, then it's all about you, isn't it? By the way, your anger, that'll show him, won't it? That'll teach that relative. That'll show him. Yeah, you snub that person. Boy, that'll teach them a lesson. I guarantee you are really showing them, aren't you? You know what you're showing them? You're showing them your flesh. And that's all. And you may be totally right in the whole thing. The whole incident that took place. But who cares? You're wrong now. Because glory should go to God. And you need to forgive. John 14:13. All right, here we go. I'm just going to go real fast right now. John chapter 14. And verse 13. See, I'm sure glad you're off that point about half-naked folks. Well, you already know. You know, when you look like the world, that doesn't glorify God. Well, you know, I know there's a lot of Christians, they pierce their nose and have ear, you know, have a chain going from their nose to their ear all the way around, wrapped around to the other ear and all the way up into an eyelid, maybe down into a belly button and, you know, attach all that stuff. And, hey, man, I just love God. But I got news for you. If you loved God, you'd want to look like God wants you to look instead of drawing attention to you. And, honey, your skin-tight clothes doesn't draw attention to God. Hello? So I thought you were on the next point. Well, I just decided to go back to the last point. You know, the low top, doesn't cause people to say, well, look what God did. Well, God made me. Honey, God made you so you could cover you. Amen. I guarantee when the guy is looking at you and lusting after you and committing adultery in his heart, he's not saying, glory to God. All right, let's move on. And then, no, I'm kidding. John 14, verse 13. Look what it says. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Did you see that? Makes you kind of think you ought to pray, doesn't it? Wait a minute. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. In other words, it's going to give God glory. Ye have not because ye ask not. God will receive glory. I don't mind asking God for big things. Amen. But I already know what I'm going to do. I'm going to glorify God. By the way, I'm going to glorify God whether I get what I want or not. Why? I trust him. Because yes is an answer, and I love to hear yes. But no is also an answer. And I trust him. Prayer. Amen. How about this one? Romans 15, verse 5. Oh, we're going to get a little, cause a little trouble here. Romans 15, verse 5. Here's something else that brings God glory. Romans 15, verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another. You see that? Now here's the truth. You and I don't think alike. We're from different backgrounds. We just don't all think alike. You know, there's a whole bunch of folks in this room that hope it snows a lot. And then there's the folks that are sane in this room that say, I'd just soon it turn 80. Now, I know we're not going to agree on that, all right? Brother Dave, our son, he thinks this is getting a little warm today. You know, and Mrs. Rogers and I, we're praying that the weatherman's wrong, that it's going to actually get warmer. Yeah, amen. See, there's several folks that lay me in that, and there's others going, and then there's that one that's going, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. And I don't care if it's white. It doesn't matter to me if it's white. Now, I'm not mad at you, but the point is that we be like-minded one toward another. Oh, according to Christ Jesus. What's it say then? That ye may with one mind and one mouth. What can we do together? Glorify God. Amen. Amen. So if it snows, I'm gonna praise God. Amen. If it's not snowing, you need to praise God too. Right? But the point is, we're not like, the only way we can be like-minded is the fact the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. And we just need to walk with Him. And if we're all walking with Him, we're not going to have any problem with this at all. It brings God glory. Verse 7, wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You know what that means? Receive one another. That means if Tim does something to make you mad, he's your brother and you need to receive him as a brother. I can guarantee you this, if he did do something and it made you mad, he didn't mean to do it because he doesn't want to make anybody mad. Amen. He's just not perfect, and I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect. And we do, you know, I said this, I say it all the time. I change the percentages because it changes all the time, but I think 90 to 95% of the things that happen that make us mad, the person didn't mean to do it. It's like Linda, when I poured her drink yesterday, I was trying to be a blessing, and it spilled on her place. And she's been bitter. No, she hadn't been bitter. But I didn't wake up in the morning and say, you know what? If I can just go and spill her Kool-Aid, that is my desire. Now you say, well, preacher, that's just there's some of you that are mad at people right now over stuff that's sillier than that. And nobody meant to do anything. It just happened. Okay, well, let's go on. And let's love each other and let's be brothers and sisters in Christ that we might glorify our Father which is in heaven. Receive ye one another as Christ received us. What's that mean? No strings. No strings. Somebody walks in here and you say, oh, well, I know what they've done. So forget it. Amen. Forget it. Receive them as a brother. John 17, verse 22. I'm hurrying. You say, you've said that like five times. Well, I'm telling you the truth. I am. John 17, verse 22. This gives God glory. Same thing. The glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one. That's what we're supposed to be. Amen. That they may be one. Here's something else that glorifies God. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. I'm just going to read these and just move. 1 Peter 4. And verse 12, I know several of you have a certain bedtime. 1 Peter 4, verse 12, I'm talking about our deacons. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Did God say that or not? That is what he said, right? But rejoice. Rejoice? Yeah, about your trial. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. I didn't write it, he did. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, weep, wail, and gnash your teeth. Oh, no, that's in the NIV. What's it say? Happy. Happy are ye. Huh? For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Isn't it interesting that busybody's in there with murder? I know, isn't that something? That's the chief Baptist sin right there, the busybody. Anyway, I got to move on. But we would never, you know, we wouldn't, okay. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him what? Glorify God on this behalf. You ever thought maybe your trials might be taking place so you can give God the glory? You ever think maybe that problem that happened, you know, it might be so you can glorify God? Because the whole world's watching. What are you going to do? What's the Christian going to do? Everybody at work, at the factory, they're watching you. All those people are watching you. You say, oh, I go to church. I'm a Christian. They're all watching you. And the trial takes place. How are you going to handle it? Well, I'm just going to praise God today. I'm just going to praise the Lord today. God, let this happen for some reason in my life. And I'm going to praise the Lord. And they're all going to say, this guy's a nut. Yeah, he's different. What else glorifies God? John 15, verse 8. John 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples, bear much fruit. Soul winning glorifies God. Everybody we lead to Christ, every track we give out and somebody gets saved, it glorifies God. It brings glory to God. You and I, he's very clear in John chapter 15. He's the vine, we're the branch. What are we supposed to do? Bear fruit. Amen. He's the vine. He's the life. What are we supposed to bear fruit? Amen. Bring forth fruit. Oh, yeah. Soul winning. That's why the church, you know, this has to be a soul winning ministry. It isn't going to be anything else. Amen. It's not a social club. It's a soul winning ministry. If you did, I can't say that. Let me move on. Psalm 22, verse 23. This is one of three, and I'm done. Psalm 22. And verse 23. Here's a way to bring glory to God. And I wish more people would do it, honestly. I think you've let the charismaniacs scare you to death. Psalm 22, verse 23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him. All ye the seed of Israel. I'm scared, honestly. I watch people when we sing, and it's like, you know, I'm just going through the motions. Praise Him. I don't want you running. I don't want you running around the room. Don't want you to swing from the chandeliers. I don't want you to go run into the curtain back there. I just want you to just put a smile and praise the Lord. Amen. Day in, day out. When it's testimony time, praise Him. God's so good. He's so good. John 21, 9. Here's a way to glorify. John 21, 9. Bible says, as soon as they were come to land, that's not what I'm looking for. I don't think it has anything to do with fish. Oh, I'm in trouble. Wrote down the wrong reference. Unbelievable. I am in so much trouble. Yep, John 21, 19. All I needed was a little one there. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Isn't that good? Huh? Talking about death. You can glorify God in death. Amen. Amen. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Look what God did. I don't know how many I don't like funerals. I don't like to do funerals. But I'll be honest with you, there isn't any better service to just really let God have glory. I mean, honestly, you know, I remember the first funeral that I did here. In fact, it was, I don't want to say that. But anyway, but the funeral director met me out there and he said, we're going to keep the body out here in the foyer. I said, no, you're not. He said, oh, yeah. He said, the pastors in the past have always wanted the body out in the foyer. They want to preach. They want everybody to look at them. I said, I don't. I want to look at them. Amen. My message is about them and Him and nothing else. And I said, you bring that body in. We wrestled over the, we didn't really. But can you imagine that, pulling a casket? No, it's in here, no. But you know what? Right here, that body, that person. Glory to God. I've got grandparents that are in heaven. I got a dad and a mom in heaven. I've got a father-in-law that's in heaven. How? God did it. I've got deacons. I've got friends. I've got little children. There's little babies. There's so many people that I've loved. And it's not about this body that's in this casket. Those people are in heaven because God did it. And when we die, and they pose us, and don't let them pose me this way. Put the Bible in my hand, all right? Make sure. Will you make sure that happens? All right. Dave, before you spend the life insurance money, make sure they do that right. But somebody, just tell them, look what God did. Look what God did. That's what we're doing, folks. That's what it's all about. It's what my life's been about. It's what our lives have been about. It's about what God did. So that death is not the end, it's the beginning. And I close with John 17, verse 24. Hope I've helped you tonight. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Do you understand that when we're in heaven, I can't even imagine what it's like. God paves his streets with gold. The streets are gold. You know, the streets are gold. Can you imagine what the walls are? Jasper and all the beautiful minerals, that everything beautiful that God has done. And when we're there, the only work of man, there is one work of man in heaven. There's no other work of man, just one work of man in heaven. As we look at all the beauty of heaven, God did it all, but there's only one work of man. Do you know what that is? The nail prints in our Lord Jesus. That's the work of man. And all the beauty and all that we look at and everything we see in my chocolate lake, I don't care if it's in the front yard or the backyard, of my mansion. Hey, praise the Lord. God did it. What do you suppose we're going to do all through heaven? We're going to walk around saying, look what God did. Look what God did. Look what God did. Look over there. There's Ray Hollins. Look what God did. Well, looky there. There's Matt Barnum. Look what God did. Hey, there's that bus kid. Boy, he's all grown up now. They say he became a preacher and went off to a mission field somewhere, won thousands of people to Christ. Look what God did. You mean that's that kid that was in my Sunday school class, caused me all that trouble all that time, and I prayed and wept for him, and yeah, wow. Look what God did to his life. Look what God did throughout all eternity. You say, well, I'm not real comfortable saying those kind of things now. You better get comfortable. Let's bow our heads, please.